The dawn of a new era. Even more of what you asked for from your talk radio station.
It's Glenn Beck.
The Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
New shows and more news.
Now on North Central Florida's talk leader, 97.3.
The Sky.
You heard it. It's Friday the weekend, 8:06 time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. I mean, I don't want to work any day, actually. Yeah. But I do like to eat, ride my motorcycle.
Yeah.
Take my boat out.
Yeah. Nobody's handing you all that stuff.
Eat good food.
Oh,
and yeah, all those things have to be paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Anyway, happy Friday. Appreciate you being along for the ride. World Series starts tonight, Yanks and the Dodgers. But we have a very special guest in the studio. May I introduce, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Ludi Bond.
Oh, yeah,
and the crowd goes wild.
Thank you.
You received your doctorate in what studies, I'm sure, related to forestry?
Sure, prescribed fire communications from the University of Florida School of Forest, Fisheries, and Geomatic Sciences. So 5.5 years of my life.
Wow.
And yeah, so July was commencement. So thank you.
Yeah, I was just reading a book on geomatic sciences
what?
The other day.
Sure,
it's like
you
coffee.
Were.
It's like
sure.
coffee
sure
table
were.
Reading.
Yeah.
Was that
right.
the National
I stick with
Geographic?
The forestry. I'll do the forestry part.
So congratulations
thank
on
you.
That. That is awesome. You also have a child, adult, that mm-hmm. is a firefighter?
She is, yeah. Ash is a forest ranger with the Florida Forest Service.
Ash, so she really?
I know. Can you believe that? Yeah, right.
That's her name.
It
so,
is.
She works with us. She's based out of the Hawthorne area. But she went on her first Western Wildfire assignment this year, and then she's been out with our folks on saw crews. So
what's a saw crew?
Yeah, so they run chainsaws. So when we have storms like we've had recently with the hurricanes, the Florida Forest Service sends teams, crews of sawyers out to clear roadways and help folks get in and out of their house, help first responders get where they need to go, get the linemen out there to get the power back up. So we've been working steady for the last few months with these saw crews around the state.
Yeah. I think especially, you know, up around Steinhatchee and that whole coastline, I think a lot of people that don't live in that area or visit that area don't realize how wooded it is to get to the beach, to get to the areas where a lot of people live. And when a bad storm comes in, you're cutting your way in or you ain't going in.
That's right. First thing you need is access, because you can't help folks if you can't get to them.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. That's you got to save lives. So there's people waiting sometimes. Oh, and along the lines of that subject, you were talking about natural disasters and how they could relate to each other. In other words, hurricanes in relation to wildfires. What would be the nexus there?
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting is a lot of people don't think how one natural disaster will impact another. So Hurricane Michael blew down a lot of really large timber several years ago. And then in a few years, all that timber was really dried out. And we had some wildfire issues there from that big timber. But let's look at Hurricane Ian. So we had storm surge coming in and salt kill with vegetation for a couple of miles inland from that storm. Now we just had Helene and Milton. Same thing. We had incredible storm surge. So salt water came in, salt water intrusion, salt kill with vegetation. So what that means is when fire season kicks up, you've got all that dead dry vegetation sitting there waiting for an ignition source. So we certainly may see some wildfire issues on the coast of Florida this year.
That's interesting. I didn't see that line, but I was over this Washington Oaks area mm-hmm. over on the East Coast.
Right.
And how dramatic that was in a very forested green growth kind of area. And then next time you go, you realize this stuff is all dying. And the next time it's dead, gone. And then, yeah, my little brain goes, oh, I wonder if that was salt water. And indeed, what an impact. I mean, this was a large area. And I mean, the vegetation was just gone.
Yeah.
So when that happens, mm-hmm. now you have all these dead trees and other vegetation. Then all you need is a spark, right?
Yeah, and if we have heavy frost this coming winter and then we move into the spring and we have any kind of drought situation, that's going to make the fire hazards increase even more.
But at least in Florida, because of you and the Forestry Service, we're very proactive about prescribed burns and cleaning out as much of that fuel as we can, right?
Yeah, we lead the nation in prescribed fire. We burn, I guess this year we're breaking some records, over 2.6 million acres of prescribed burning here in the state of Florida.
Wow.
And no other state can touch anywhere near what we do here. So we are the role model for a lot of states, like California. They're looking to do what we, because we are so successful. We still have a high number of wildfires. A lot of them are lightning caused, but we just don't have the large wildfires we did over 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I know you've been out west many times, but mm-hmm. having gone out there recently, there was several wildfires that were kind of taking place. And it's one thing to fight a fire under any conditions, but in mountainous terrain, it just seems almost impossible.
They're hard to access, and then the fire behavior is different depending on the topography.
Right.
Yeah. So we're flat. So we know fire's just going to run straight forward, not uphill or downhill, really. But we don't have the Santa Ana winds they have out west, but we sort of have sea breezes. So we've got that. One nice thing about being in Florida, other than Hawaii, we're the only state surrounded by as much water as we are. So our air quality tends to stay really pretty
humid,
nice.
Humid.
Yeah.
Right?
Humid.
But the winds
are always shifting and moving because of the sea breezes, right? And off Lake Okeechobee and Lake George, you get sea breeze effect off that, too. So air's not stagnant, other than here in Gainesville in August.
I see.
It's oppressive.
Okay. Yes.
It's oppressive, yeah.
I know what you mean.
That's right.
In California, too, the canyon effect.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just like if you've ever been to like Chicago or really any big city where the wind gets concentrated because of the height of the buildings. Mm. Think about a canyon, the same effect. And you've got, it gets to hurricane strength, some of the winds, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. And it's all, it's fire coming at you, not just wind.
That's right.
You wanted to talk about debris, kind of a headache for a lot of folks. Some people live in the city. They see smoke. They call. It's the neighbor burning stuff, may or may not be legal. If you want to address that whole thing, please do.
Yeah, so a lot of folks are seeing a lot of the storm debris still on their streets and around their communities, and it's going to take a while. It could take weeks or months for all of that to be picked up and moved away. So in the meantime, that could mean that people determine they want to burn their vegetation on site, which, depending on where you live, it may be legal, it may not be legal. But that just means as more and more people are burning their hurricane debris, we're going to see more and more smoke in the area. And we have really nice cool temperatures at night, so people are leaving their windows open. We certainly can understand that. But people could be smelling more smoke in the area based on people burning their yard debris.
Yeah, I have a neighbor, and they're great people, but he has this fetish about burning his leaves that he collects with his vacuum-style lawnmower.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he learned this, but he can burn a small amount of leaves and make a lot of smoke and make it last for hours and hours.
Yeah.
It's almost like magic, except it's evil magic.
Well, the options that people have as more people are burning their yard debris, they can either be patient and understanding and just realizing this isn't going to last forever. People are maybe choosing to burn their hurricane debris. Or you can haul your debris away if you choose not to burn on site.
If you have the ability.
You can haul it to a collection site. Or you can burn it on site. And so if you choose to burn your yard debris or your hurricane debris on site, realize it's only vegetation. You cannot burn household items, plastics and aerosol cans and rubber and that kind of thing. If your pile is greater than 8 feet in diameter, you need an authorization from the Florida Forest Service. Not all pile debris need an authorization from my agency, right? So if it's smaller than 8 feet, 8 feet or smaller, you don't need an authorization from us. And then there's setbacks. You need to make sure whether we authorize or not, there are legal setbacks you must meet. 25 feet from your home, 25 feet from the woods, 150 feet from like your neighbor's home or neighbor's barn, that kind of thing. And then 50 feet from a public paved road because you don't want to put smoke on the roadways.
Wow. Well, yeah, that makes sense too.
Right.
Okay. Thank you for defining that.
You're welcome.
And then hopefully people will adhere to that and we'll be a little bit safer. And hopefully it won't be as smoky because that becomes quite irritating, literally, doesn't it?
It does. And for safety tips, one thing we really want people to know, and this is year-round, not just when you're burning hurricane debris, make sure that you are staying with your burn pile at all times. Have a shovel, have a water hose, something like that nearby, just in case it gets out of hand a little bit. You know, you want to make sure you stay on top of it. And realize if your fire escapes, you could be liable for suppression costs. So
That might have caused some attention there.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Ludi Bond, thank you so much. Dr. Ludi Bond, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Right, Bob.
Florida Forestry Survey. Hey, keep up the great work. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, and I appreciate it.
Always our pleasure. So much more to talk about. Happy Friday, my friends. The weekend is here, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Oh, happy Friday. Yes, indeed. This one, it seems like we've been working 27 days straight. That whole hurricane thing messed us up. And it's almost like, there's like some fall time here. There's these events. There's these things we want to do. And all of a sudden, squish squash. Oh, yeah, good luck with that.
Well, like I said, I'll ask you earlier this morning. Does it seem like it was just last Friday that you were doing the bike thing last weekend?
No.
That seems a month ago.
And that went by way too fast. It's like 3-day weekend's not enough. I need four.
Mm-hmm.
I need four.
A 4-day weekend for Bob. You got to have a recovery day. You know,
yeah. So. I better watch it or, you know, one of our bosses is going to say, hey, how about you have 7 days off forever? They would never do that to me.
In radio?
Hardly ever. Rarely ever. I've been very blessed to be here for, December. Gosh, we're almost there. It'll be 23 years.
Is that crazy?
23, yeah, right? 23, man. God, and I still sound like, you know, the age I was when I got here, which is 14.
Wow. Delusional, anyone?
Delusional, anyone? Party of two. No, I don't want to sit with Kamala.
No.
I'm a different kind of delusional. Hey, talk about delusional.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. First of all, I got to say, 822, your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. An anti-Israel TikToker, went to a restaurant. This was like in New Jersey, you know, like something that you could walk down the street and eateries are there. Maybe you could eat out front or inside, right?
Yeah.
These flags hanging up, you know, blue and white, right? These Jewish flags.
All right.
And Israeli, right?
Yeah.
And she tears them all down and makes a big stink.
What?
Right? And then gets away with it. They couldn't figure out who did it. You know, they didn't have video, I guess. And and so she did all this damage, ripped down all the flags. But then I guess she couldn't help herself.
Oh, no.
She had to post something
on
TikTok.
Oh, no. People are stupid. They really are.
Well, she admitted she was stupid, which only got her into more trouble. Amber Matthews, 23, was charged with bias and intimidation for ripping down not Israeli flags.
Yeah.
Greek flags.
What?
She couldn't tell the difference.
Oh, wow.
Literally.
Oh, wow.
She attacked the awning of Elfie's Euros in Montclair.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was way back in March, right? And they did an investigation. They didn't have anything to go on. They didn't catch the person. So it's March when the incident occurs. She puts it on TikTok on October 15. So what, about 10 days ago? More than 7 months after the incident. And by the way, it's generated 4.5 million more views on X. So police didn't know what was going on. All they know is that an unknown woman approached the business, tore down their string of flags and decorative lights while repeatedly screaming, there's a genocide going on.
Wow.
They're killing the little lambs and making Euros out of them, which I think is a good thing. I love Euros. So can you imagine that? And she admitted, oopsie, when she realized, I guess, that they were Greek flags.
That's amazing.
Hey, Don't ever let facts get in the way of a good hate.
No,
you know,
no,
you got a good hateful
crime.
Thing you want to do.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Isn't that? I mean, that just doesn't that just figure really?
Well, but you know, we saw that so many times over the years when there would be some sort of a dust up going on in the Middle East that involves America, and anybody who like has a tan and wears the wrong kind of clothes, you get some idiot out there who thinks they're the terrorists. You know, it's like, come on, people, stop it.
Now, authorities did. I mean, when I say they investigated this, they really did. They even reviewed security footage. They found that the suspect was in the establishment a week prior, handing out flyers in support of Palestine.
Okay.
But they had no leads until Matthews posted the now viral video of the encounter last week. This wasn't so random. In other words, you were in there once.
Did you think it was a Jewish restaurant as opposed to a
absolutely.
Greek?
She absolutely did.
And never caught on from the time she was there a week before to tearing down flags that maybe I got this wrong.
There was people with, some of them had dark and mostly curly hair and an accent. And the flags were like blue and white. I'm like, dude, this is, you know, Israel, man. This is, into the genocide. Not, oh my gosh. These are the kind of people.
Wow.
This is what we're dealing with. Anyway.
Genius.
Yeah.
Not.
I don't stand for Zionism in Montclair. How much you want to bet that she couldn't explain what that statement means?
Oh, no.
No, no. Not at all.
Not a bit.
Boy River to the Sea or anything else.
No, clueless.
I used to say read a book, but a lot of them do. They just read the wrong books. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like Kamala and her crew, you know.
Yeah, her dad wrote a book.
They read books.
He wrote one.
By Karl Marx.
Yeah, yeah.
Who wrote a book?
Her dad, remember? Marx, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
He wrote the book on Karl Marx.
You have to tell me. You don't have to call me a Marxist. My dad wrote the book on it.
See?
Man, I should do her campaign ads for her.
Yeah, that'd go over well.
For a small fee, I would.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It is 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. A ton of fun just waiting for you. More headlines, information, and yes, it is definitely Friday. We've got tickets to give away for a great event. That doesn't start till Monday, but I'll give you a little more info next on 97.3 The Sky. While I was listening to this kind of rock and roll, growing up,
yeah,
we know that Greg was maybe into some different stuff, you know, while I was a young rock dog. Greg was like, I'm not going to that party tonight, Mom. I don't want to miss a love boat.
Love. Exciting and new.
I'll be the captain someday, Mom.
We're expecting you.
He's still got his polyester bell bottoms.
Yeah.
Life's sweetest reward.
I'm trying to think of some of the. Everybody did a guest appearance, but I can't.
Everybody.
All the stars at those at that time, or.
Oh, yeah.
Soon we'll be making them all.
That's the disco symbol in the background.
Promises something for everyone.
Yeah.
Wow. Good, Greg. A trip back into your childhood is.
Oh yeah.
It's a frightening experience for me, but you know that they basically ripped that show off, right?
Well, it was like 2.0 of Love American Style.
Right, but then it was ripped off again.
From?
Well, it's a show called Below Deck.
Yeah.
Oh, you've never heard of it?
No, I guess I missed that.
Okay, this is a well, it's viewed for like younger, cool demographics like me.
Uh-huh.
And and it's people that work on these private yachts, and it's behind the scenes with them. It's called Below Deck.
Okay.
It's like on one of those offbeat channels, like not Home Shopping Network, but something, not the History Channel, but something, you know, in that genre.
Okay.
But no, but it's very well known.
Never
ask anybody.
Never heard
You've
about
never
it.
Heard of Below Deck?
No, I don't think so.
they had a male captain for a while, and now they have, or at least the last ones, they have a woman who's a captain, and I don't know, the staff is about, 12 people maybe, and they're all young and attractive, and how they interact, and I like this one, I like that one, mm-hmm. but also these extremely wealthy people that come aboard the yacht, and how they're super served, and gotcha. I mean, this is a nice yacht, like a hot tub, that kind of yacht.
Oh yeah,
and then they have all the accoutrements that when they go to a port or whatever, they just lay anchor somewhere. The workers have to go out there and get like all the jet skis and all that stuff out for the guests. I mean, I'm sure it's quite the expensive adventure, but the show is, it's what do you call it? In the genre of
kind of reality kind of thing?
Yeah, reality TV. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there is somebody there that helps to create some storylines, like they all are. None of them are for real reels.
Right. Well, pretty much, if you had been a star in the 50s, 60s, or 70s, you probably had a guest bit on the Love Boat.
I can picture, like, Robert Wagner.
Oh, yeah. That crew, yeah. And then you're, even like Larry Storch, from F Troop. And again, you name it. Musical actors, you name it. They were on the show.
Love Boat. And the reason that we're taking this trip through time, besides, the psychiatrist that's working with Greg, said it was a good idea. But but because the Love Boat theme singer, Jack Jones, has passed away at the age of 86. Not a bad life, right?
No.
Passed away, battled leukemia for well over 2 years. Statement put out by actually his rep. And he passed peacefully holding hands with his wife, Eleonora, and his beloved toy poodle, Ivy.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. He was actually born in 1938 to movie stars Alan Jones and Irene Hervey. So he had a little head start to fame and fortune. In the mid-60s, Frank Sinatra declared him the next major star of show business. So he never made it to that upper echelon.
Yeah, well, probably in the sense that not a household name the way Sinatra was. And but yeah, great voice, though.
Yeah, the song came out in 1979.
Wow.
So
wow.
When I was cranking up, AC/DC and, rocking out.
I was playing the Bee Gees.
Home being a good boy.
I was playing the Bee Gees at my, in 79, I was a junior in high school working at my first radio station.
Yeah, I was working on my Bee Gees, hairstyle.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you had that going. Oh, by the way, I just, I got confirmation on something from an earlier conversation that we were having because I don't know when you'll learn, Bob. I've been here 7 years, and every once in a while, folks, you'll attest to this. He doesn't believe me when I say something. You know what I'm talking about. Earlier this morning, we were talking about Oktoberfest, right?
Right.
We're talking about how the band gets flown in from Germany. The beer is a German recipe.
Very authentic.
The recipe for the smoked chickens is German. Yep. And I told you that the benches and the tables and the stuff under the tent came from Germany.
No.
Yes, the benches and tables were brought in from Germany, and of course also the rotisserie chicken grill comes from Germany. Never doubt me, Bob.
Came from there originally. You acted like you shipped them in the other day, they came with the band.
Well, no, they were brought in when this Oktoberfest for this event.
Oh, for this one.
Yeah, because Tom got them. So yeah,
I thought Tom bought the chicken thing. He liked it so much last year.
No, that was a different one. Well, that was somebody that was brought in to do it. Now he's got his own grill.
What we're referring to, ladies and gentlemen, is a huge fundraiser for the Ronald McDonald House. That is also a great time and very, very authentic Oktoberfest that is hosted by Audi of Gainesville on Main Street. And they put up a big tent. And this year, the tent is even bigger. Now, did the tent come from Germany, too? Or
I don't know.
Okay. So anyway, it's very authentic, and it made more room for more people, and it's always a great time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, brats are off the chain, German recipe beer that's made here fresh locally, mm-hmm. and it's for the Ronald McDonald House, of which we are the official radio sponsors and proud to be. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, otherwise known as the Hildebeest, said, here we are. It's 12 days before the election of the President of the United States. It's absolutely bonkers that we're talking about what he might do to violate the law, to punish his political opponents. I mean, this is so un-American. I've been around longer than you have, and I've agreed and disagreed with presidents, Democrats and Republicans, over a lot of decades. I was on the impeachment inquiry staff that investigated President Nixon, and eventually he was forced to resign after evidence came out because he was misusing, he was abusing the office of the presidency. How can we back here even entertain the idea that someone who frankly makes Nixon look like a lesser threat because of the kinds of things that Trump is saying and the kind of coziness he exhibits toward people like Putin? Oh, here we go again. And it is even more ironic because Hillary really was at the very heart of the whole Russia, Russia, Russia thing. She was at the heart of it. She financed some of the stuff initially. Russia, 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 and that whole fake dossier and all that, the Steele dossier. Yeah, her handprints were all over it. But she doesn't mention that. Was there any misuse of power when the FBI was saying, yeah, we need an insurance policy. We got to make sure that Trump doesn't win. Was that a problem? What about a sitting president right now as we speak has over a dozen shell companies that do nothing but move money around? No interest in that, Hillary?
Can I have a little fun and take a little bunny trail with that?
Every day.
If Hillary is going to talk about a threat, how about the, not counting the bodyguards that have died, and there's about 11 of those. In addition to that, the 34 people associated with the Clintons who had interesting deaths.
Vince Foster.
Well, yeah, he's on the list.
I didn't say anything. I was coughing. Excuse me.
Yeah. I'm not going down the conspiratorial trail. I'm just saying, you don't believe in coincidences.
No, I don't. And this falls perfectly in line with what I've been saying. They call you what they are. They say you're doing what they're actually doing. And this is it, laid out once again so easily by Hillary Clinton. These people are easy to read because they're blatantly evil and they don't even try to hide it. 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Kamala Harris sponsored a bill to dismantle DHS detention. Really? Shocked? No. Details on that and a whole lot more coming your way on News Talk 97.3 The Sky. 8:50, 10 minutes till 9, it's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. So's the weekend. Happy Friday. Hey, starting Monday, we're going to have your tickets for the World Equestrian Center Food and Wine Festival. Yes, it's a big deal. We'll start that Monday morning.
We have been to this event. It's a great one.
We have.
They do everything big at WEC, though. They are amazing.
Yes, they are. Everything they do. Top notch. This will be no exception. You know? Do you ever have a conversation with, like, you know, it could be a friend or a relative, and you don't, like, always talk politics, but sometimes, you know, a topic comes to mind that you would think transcends politics, you know, like crime, for instance. Like, hey, did you hear, you know, Joe Scaboli's house got busted into the other day? You know, oh, yeah, that's awful, blah, 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 right?
Okay.
So you say, hey, did you hear about all these, like, big gangs that are coming in from, like, Venezuela, and they're worse than that MS-13 gang and all that. And then you look at the person, and they got a blank stare. I was like, huh? Where'd you hear that? I'm like, it was on the news. I don't know. I read another story on the internet about it. Blah, 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 right? Huh. No, I didn't hear anything about it. You know what that is, right? They don't listen to talk radio. They don't watch Fox. They don't go to any, you know, conservative sites at all. You know, they don't read the Epoch Times. And again, I'm not being disparaging per se, But I'm just trying to make the point of, you know, even politically, you're not right of center. There's still issues that you're not hearing about because there's a political angle to it. In other words, so if you talk about gangs, and you talk long enough, just like if you talk about fentanyl, one of the reasons why that was almost a hidden subject for several years, because it leads back to the border and the fact that it's wide open, and it's wide open on purpose under the Biden-Harris administration. Uncovered documents revealed law enforcement officials' warnings that Aurora, Colorado was under threat by the dangerous Venezuelan gang, the TDA, Tren du Aragua. And they were on warning. They were on notice well before the summer's reports of the gang's presence at several apartment complexes. You know, again, you talk to your friends that aren't fully enlightened and they'll go, what? They took over apartment complex? Nah, I don't know about that. And some of them will even do the, oh, where'd you hear that, Fox?
Don't you love that answer?
So they, yeah, they want to write it off as not true.
Right.
Well, remember, look, there is things that are going to be, is going to be a political opinion type story.
Right.
Okay? And I get it. So you go, oh, that's Fox News, right? So your left to center friends say that. But here we're talking about news. Like, yes, the gangs are real. Yes, the gangs took over several apartment complexes. Yes, these are gangs that kill, sell drugs, rape, and murder. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. It's even been said that these guys make the MS-13 folks look like the kind of entertainment you'd have at your kid's birthday party.
They're bad. They're really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, the media does a huge disservice, which they don't care because they have an agenda. So they don't care to inform you of dangerous things, because then you would take the next logical step and say, well, why is that so? Because of the wide open borders. And you know what? That's downright dangerous. You have no warning or anything else of the possibility of these things that could be in your area, your neighborhood. You'd have no idea. And you don't want to judge. Yeah, they looked Hispanic. They looked nice enough. So I slowly drove, you know, past the crowd. And, you know, they mostly got out of the way until they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they raped and murdered my whole family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's not political.
One of these documents about law enforcement warning way ahead of time about Aurora, Colorado and this gang, one document show that law enforcement officials discovered the Venezuelan gang had chosen the Denver area to serve as their U.S. headquarters. Why? Because of the state's extremely lenient immigration and sanctuary policies.
Go back to that whole line. Their U.S. headquarters? It's a Venezuelan gang, and they have U.S. headquarters?
And again, if you say, well, yeah, why are they in Denver? Then you have to say, well, it's probably due to Denver's very lenient immigration and sanctuary policies, which again then becomes political.
Right.
So, you see, the left is losing out on just a lot of information, factual information. Now, it's up to them to do what they want with the information, but, you know, they could vote based on some of that information. But how can you go to the polls and vote when you're not getting all the information, or at least most of it? If you're going in half blind, you're going in, you know, with your eyes covered up. The documents, actually from November of 2023, it showed Aurora official Matthew Walters had been told by an official from ICE that TDA, that gang from Venezuela, has decided to make Denver their headquarters due to sanctuary policies and locations. Now, this was a ICE official saying he knew why they made Denver their home.
And isn't it interesting that Venezuelan gangs know enough about sanctuary cities in America to know which one to pick?
Well, you have helpful people on YouTube, on TikTok, and other social medias that tell you how to get across the border, what to say to border agents, what to say to possibly give you an asylum case when you really don't have one. et cetera, et cetera. It goes on from there. Where to live, you know, live around the periphery. Here's where you go to, local mm-hmm. churches. Some will help you, et cetera. They've given them directions, help every step of the way. And they don't know if that information is going to some poor family who really will make good use of living here in the U.S. or whether wow. it's a very dangerous, murderous gang.
You know, it's kind of interesting because your topic there is people don't know enough about issues to vote, which actually kind of ties you into your next guest, because there's some local things that people, they question you and I on it all the time.
Yeah, Stafford Jones is going to join us to talk about some of the amendments, specifically one of the big local amendments, which is at-large versus single-member districts. And, yeah, that's on the ballot, and you need to know. We'll share that information with you in mere minutes right here. Don't forget, download the Bob Rose Show podcast. Wherever you normally get your podcast, just click on subscribe, and it will all be right there for you. All right? Hang in there. The 9 o'clock stretch is next on 97.3 The Sky.